The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's so cold in here.
It's cold.
I wish I had my sweatshirt with me. I'd give you a sweatshirt. I hate being cold. It's
Once dry. We start gabbing, maybe it'll...
You want me to eat it? Yeah, that's great.
Okay. So should we put these on yet or what?
Sure.
Okay.
Last week, staff writer Sarah Larson met one of her childhood heroes, Joan Jett. They sat down to talk about a new documentary about Jett's career called Bad Reputation. And if you were listening to rock and roll in the 1980s, you couldn't miss Joan Jett. She had a string of hits including I Love Rock and Roll, Crimson and Clover, Bad Reputation, and a lot of others. She was kind of glam, kind of punk, and eventually just classic rock. Starting with her group, the Blackhearts, Jett led the band, played guitar, sang the lead, all of it. For a girl growing up in the 80s, a music fan like Sarah Larson, that was huge.
I loved this new documentary about you and your music, Bad Reputation. And it felt like the movie was timelier than I expected it to be. You know, I'm a fan, so I knew I would love it. But when I put your music on in my headphones after seeing your story and hearing the music, I walked down 6th Avenue and I just felt like I owned it. I felt very powerful and excited and happy. And it reminded me of how I felt when I was a kid when I was listening to you. When I was about 9 and I'd request I Love Rock and Roll at the roller rink.
Wow.
And then skating to it just felt so right. To have a woman owning that song and that feeling just felt so right when I was a kid, and it feels so right now. And it feels very welcome.
You know, you're the first person that really that I've gotten a response or a review from, I guess, basically. Certainly a woman that's seen this and made me want to cry when you said what you said, because that's exactly the intention that you want to get across, at least I do, with the music.
Yeah.
Is that you want to reach people, connect, and make them feel... powerful in their own, whatever it is that they want to try to achieve. It doesn't have to be rock and roll, you know, whatever it is you want to be in life, don't let other people sort of hold you back. So you hearing that from you makes me feel like we achieved.
Like you're at the roller rink and
Yeah, totally. Exactly.
So let's talk about how you came to play rock and roll and you getting your first guitar when you were a kid. Your parents gave you a guitar for Christmas.
They sure did. An electric guitar.
An electric guitar.
I was specific.
Yeah. What kind of guitar was it?
It was a Sears Silvertone.
You took lessons and you wanted to play rock and roll.
Yes.
And what happened?
Well, the guy told me girls don't play rock and roll. I'm sure I went in there all excited and exuberant as a young teenager would. Teach me how to play rock and roll. And he could have said, okay, great, let me teach you the basics. Let's learn some basic chords, and then I can teach you some rock songs. But he didn't. He said, girls don't play rock and roll. And, I realized at that time, so you're not telling me that girls can't master the guitar. What you're saying is, I can't be the Rolling Stones, is what you're telling me. Right. I want to be the Rolling Stones. Rock and roll, just by its nature, exudes sexuality. So a girl playing rock and roll, it's going to be sexual. And Americans are very uncomfortable with that, you know, with women and sexuality in general. But when you get to teenagers expressing themselves, forget about it.
Yeah. I like that in the movie you talk about how you weren't rebelling against your parents. You were... I think more rebelling against attitudes like that.
Yes, absolutely. It was more about what society telling kind of pretending that we could be anything, but not really, you know, walking the walk, talking the talk, but not really letting girls do that.
And then you encountered some of that attitude as a teenager in your band, The Runaways.
When a lot of it.
Some people loved you guys. In Japan, it was like Beatlemania. But then you also got a lot of sexist pushback.
Yeah, it was very confusing in one respect until you kind of caught on. And I still don't really understand what's so threatening about it. But it's people were pushing back against us. And when they couldn't kind of throw us off base that way, then they started calling us names and would be extremely rude and call us every name in the book and or you know, just try to drive the subject always about talking about sex as opposed to the music.
And right.
I find it kind of childish, actually. You know, say, come on, man, is that's where you're going to go?
And some of that is part of what inspired you to write after The Runaways, to write Bad Reputation, right? Was that?
Well, definitely. I was just reflecting on kind of how people threw my own ambition back in my face, trying to give it sort of a tinge of deviance.
Yeah.
Something's wrong with her that she wants to play guitar. And so I was really, when I met my best friend and producer, songwriting partner, Kenny Laguna, sort of just, you know, talking about subjects to write songs about, talking about my life, it was sort of a natural flow that we discuss these subjects and then sort of turn it on its head and make fun of that sort of a tongue-in-cheek way and say, I don't give a damn about my bad reputation.
Yeah. One of the things I really, really love about this song and about your music in general is this irresistible combination of catchiness and real power, real strength. And I was so intrigued in the movie to learn that Kenny had this background in writing bubblegum records.
Yes.
And the whole connection between bubblegum and punk.
Right, right.
Can you talk about that sound and what combination of elements you were looking for?
And that's a unique combination. It's, you know, it's a... Kenny comes from the Brill Building history of songwriting, and the combination, of his bubblegumness and I really respect it, and I have that in myself as well. So yeah, the combination just really works.
He said
well.
He brought that, and you brought the menace.
Yeah,
which kinda. I really liked.
Yeah,
but it's a very warm kind of menace.
Yes.
Somehow at all.
Yeah, it's not a nasty menace.
Yeah, exactly. And another, you know, I was thinking of the combination of elements in your music about power and melody and joy and rage and love and strength and how I loved all those things about Nirvana. And then I suddenly remembered that I actually had the great pleasure of seeing you play with Nirvana. I happened to be writing about that Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2014 where they were inducted, which was such a powerful moment. And to have all these women, these great, powerful women in the Kurt role was so wonderful. And you kicked it off with Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Can you imagine how it was like being asked? I was petrified on one level.
Yeah.
Not only do you have to be there enough for the band to play the song, but the fans.
Yeah.
You know, and I was strangely very calm that night. Mm. Like I knew I wouldn't mess it up. I think, you know, on some level there had to be some spirit there because I wasn't doing it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does.
Who knows?
And then the next year, you and Kenny, I believe, were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yes, yes.
And that's a nice moment in the movie, too. I mean, you can see, you know, there's a standing ovation for you in this giant stadium, and there's Paul McCartney and Yoko Ono, and everybody's cheering, and that.
Yeah, it was actually Paul McCartney, when I came out, him and Ringo, I believe, were the first to stand up. And, I you know, I had planned on keeping it together, but, you know, seeing that, and then the whole building stand up, it was just more than I could handle emotionally, and I just broke down, you know. So I didn't expect it, you know.
That was a nice moment.
It was.
There have been a lot of portrayals of you in pop culture in various ways, not just in the Runaways movie, which you executive produced, I think, right?
Yeah.
Like, I was watching this series Red Oaks, and there was a you character in it, and I was watching this show Younger, and there was a character who seemed like a composite of you and maybe Chrissy Hynde and some other things, and I just, what do you see in what the culture sees in you?
Perseverance, you know, fighting for what you believe in, you know, sort of just, if I can really step back from myself, it's very hard to talk about yourself like this.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's like a type. It's a style.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I heard about this years ago from fashion shows. I want kind of a Joan Jett look. So I can only imagine that, you know, it means stark, dark hair, you know, dark makeup. I don't really know, but it's a type.
Yeah. What do you want people to take away from your story? Perseverance, for one thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big one. Don't let other people dictate what your life is going to be. You know, people tend to shoot down other people's dreams, and I don't know what that is in human nature that seems to go there. So I would say watch for that.
Yeah.
So if there's something you really want to do or be in life, you have to go for it. I think it's really, really important to not let other people dictate your life.
Well, I know that when I want to feel charged up, it helps to listen to a little Joan Jett.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. It's been really great talking to you.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Sarah. Thanks for having me.
Joan Jett, the Joan Jett. She talked with Sarah Larson, who writes about culture in all its forms on NewYorker.com. The documentary Joan Jett, Bad Reputation, is out now.
Is there anything else you want to say, Joan?
Go see the movie.
I've seen it twice.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
I cried both times.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's great.
The good crying.
Yes,
good,
yes. Yeah. I saw it. I did too. You know, it was I went on the journey again.
Yeah.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.